Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. What if there is a different gauge of success than one's accomplishments? What if life's most significant focus is the relationship that we develop with our own souls? Can we be guided to something so important by a mere rooster? In the critically acclaimed The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches by Ellen Beth Berman, a collection of inspirational poetry, the rooster's lessons unfold, suggesting a way to value each day by searching for its inner light. Ellen Beth Berman was brought up in the Appalachian Hills of southwestern Virginia. She compares one spiritual journey to going into the darkness of a coal mine and returning with diamonds. She has a graduate degree in education as well as extensive coursework in religion and philosophy. In the context of being an educational specialist for a county's Head Start program, she developed a curriculum. Its purpose was to facilitate the non-degreed members of the faculty to better understanding the goals needed in educating the young. Her teaching in religious school settings enabled her to use her writing skills by incorporating parents into the religious concepts being taught within the schools. Mrs. Berman and her husband live in Maryland. Ellen Beth Berman, author of Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches, awarded the prestigious Star of Excellence by the Hollywood Book Review, a special seal awarded only to books of exceptional merit. She's our guest on This Week in America. Ellen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, thank you so much for having me on.
It is a pleasure, and I've been looking forward to our conversation. The beautiful job you've done with the poetry book, The Voice of the Rooster, and the Lessons It Teaches. Let's just start with the very basics. When did you get a desire to write poetry?
Rick, it came about as my parents aged, and I was caught between two worlds, that of my youth and that of the person I had planned on being and hopefully, you know, was on my way to in Baltimore, connected more with my roots in Judaism. And I was traveling 400 miles, and it became very difficult, because my love was divided between aging parents and a husband back home and grandchildren being born back home.
Oh, yes.
And I was not a youngster. I was already, well into my 50s, and it was not easy, and I was seeing the effects within within my own health. And so I just cried out to God in a manner that I never had before. And just because I was in this conundrum, I was caught in opposites where I loved all the people concerned, and I didn't know where to place my emphasis. And it took a long while. My first poem came after my mom died. Thankfully, my parents lived into their 90s, and a true blessing. Then as, you know, after Dad died about a year and a half after she, I wrote my first poem after Mom at a religious retreat. A young poet happened to be giving a class there, and he had written a beautiful book, but what impressed me more was a surprise that he had for his wife. She accompanied him to the class, and when he came in, he read a poem that he had written especially for her, and it so touched me. It was as though I knew her without ever having met her, and then he gave the class an assignment. He said, in 15 minutes, I would like you to write a poem drawing something from your life. And then the next 15 minutes, we were supposed to write a poem drawing something from our religious experience and how it pertains to life.
Oh, yes.
And so I used just the inspiration that I had gotten from this man's tribute to his wife to go into my own heart And what I found there was really God. And I didn't realize at the time that God was answering the prayer that I had asked maybe 4 years before, and he was connecting all the different aspects of my life, and it would take the form of poetry. And I just, I'd like to go in a little different direction than even my notes are telling me. I'm going to take a risk with myself, because I always, you know, play it safe, always have notes, that sort of thing. But I want to read just the the two poems that evolved from that experience.
Please do.
And then I want to just veer off and just talk about the parameters of my life, being the age that I am, and I unabashedly say 72 years old. And, you know, I hope the youth, you know, will find in my my words something that applies to them as well. And but I would like to read that first poem that I wrote. And in my heart, you know, they say a heart feels a heart, and what comes from the heart goes to the heart. And it would be my wish that in hearing these two poems, that first of all, your listeners are inspired to write or create themselves, because when I got to that place in myself, this poem was just waiting for me. It was like God was waiting for me.
That sounds like it, yes.
And it was, I really experienced what creativity is, and I would love others to have that experience of finding within themselves that uniquely creative part of themselves. And so I would like to read the two poems that those 15-minute requirements evoked from me, because otherwise I would have just, you know, torn my hair trying to come up with something.
Yes.
Well, let me read those two, if I may. I'm turning to them in my book.
Please do. And while you're doing that, Ellen Beth Berman is our guest on the program. The book we're talking about is The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches. You can tell as we're chatting with Ellen, this is written heart to heart. She is really opening up and sharing her life to motivate and inspire all of us. Her website is ellenbermanbook.com. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. We'll go through that as we progress through the interview. Ellen, you've got the two poems there. Please, when you're ready, go ahead and read them.
Thank you. The first poem, I have the caption. It's called His Bride. And this is the poem that I wrote in response to hearing the words of this young rabbi about his wife. But and the caption says, even as a child, I felt a presence of light within their home. Although a simple row house, it was a place where all the family loved to gather. Could it be that each of us, sensed the nature of their special relationship, that all the family sensed the relationship of these special people? The poem. A hard life never took from him how he saw her. A white sweater covered with beads, a bedtime gown with lace and silk, a perfect fruit. He gave each to her in the sweetest of ways. Everything about her lifted him. The soup she made golden and rich, the odor and sweet fragrance of the house that she kept, her dimples, the way she giggled when he simply touched her arm. She changed his world, my grandmom, still making granddad's heart leap, though he approached 80 in calendar years. And because of this, she always remained his bride, ageless and in love. I just want to say that this same man brought over, he was the first to come to this country from Russia, and he brought over a large family by working multiple jobs. But Grandmom was his prize, his queen,
yes,
and his treasure. And so the next poem is about a biblical version of what I found to be true in my grandparents, of devotion to one another. And this one is called Abraham and Sarah, taken from what we call the Torah, others call the Old Testament. Abraham was the first person to discover monotheism, and Sarah was his wife. They were both already old, and Sarah had not been blessed with a child and had reached the end of her childbearing years. And she knew that God had promised Abraham that he would have a large progeny. So she was caught at that moment not knowing what to do, and this is the poem about them. He was her beloved, Sarah, the body, he, the soul, devoted, bound together on a journey never taken before to find the one true God. Abraham was promised children, numerous as the stars. So Sarah gave him a gift no woman wants to give. The only key, she thought, to his eternity. Her maidservant, Hagar. Those are the two poems.
Those are both so well done. And to think that that was the beginning of this writing career, that you really have such insights, that beautifully written, beautifully read. Our guest on the program is Ellen Beth Berman. She's talking about the book, The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches. Book available at Amazon, published by writersbranding.com, available at their website as well. And, of course, Ellen's website, all the information, ellenbermanbooks.com. We'll have all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Did you find that writing poetry broadened your personal way of perceiving God? Did it work in that way?
It did, and I just wanted to say that poetry is different things to different people. For me, poetry became a tool. I grew up in my college years that at the time haiku was very popular, and
oh, yes,
and the idea of bringing in an established number of syllables or words, a whole concept. And I realized that as brief as I could make my poems, the better, because that way I could keep myself out of it and focus on my purpose for writing the poem, which was either to remind myself and to hopefully give the listeners of my poetry a perception of who I was trying to represent in the poem, or a concept that I was trying to represent. And I just wanted to veer off, and I want to be able to acknowledge a particular teacher, and I just want to veer off and just say that God put me at a unique time in history. In my very early years, TV was just coming onto the scene, and I was, I don't know if how many people can even fathom what life was like before television, but what I realized, looking at it from my perspective now, is that our focus in living shifted. we were just at one with our lives prior to that, our personal lives.
Yes.
You know, especially in where I came from, in the southwestern part of Virginia, you know, we were isolated and, you know, very into our neighbors and people and dining room tables and once a week getting together with the family. And after TV, everyone got their little folding table and TV dinners emerged.
Exactly.
And I realized, looking back now, that our realities shifted. We started to look outside of ourselves for reality, instead of being our reality being sparked by what was within ourselves, and you know the religious experiences we had, the wisdom we gained from our parents. And from the community, and I'm not so sure that necessarily has given us what we need today. I feel like perhaps our greatest contest now is recognizing that we are in a battle between how we're going to be controlled, whether we're going to be controlled from the outside in, or whether we're going to be controlled by the soul within ourselves. And when I, jumping to the next part of my life, getting out of high school, going into college, that was a time when people had enough to eat, most people, and parents, you know, diligently worked so that they could send their children to college. And many people were able to start being more altruistic and start worrying about their fellows and wanting to bring peace to the world. And unfortunately, we were entrapped in the Vietnamese War, which, you know, people generally just did not understand. And I remember an advertisement at that time for a soft drink, and it said, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." And the solution was to give everyone a bottle of this soft drink.
Yes.
And I realized that it didn't quite make the grade, and now we are faced with a very... at this point in my life, a very fear-provoking time, and I realize, even though we couldn't unify from a positive standpoint, that we are now, unfortunately, unified in our fear of this COVID.
Yes.
Not knowing who will get it, you know, staying away from people we love. And what has emerged is really almost as though we have capitalized the word fear, and it's taken on almost like godlike proportions. And we've also realized how important relationships are in our lives, you know, since our relationships have become limited often, you know, because of our fears.
Yes.
And so what I think I'm mentioning all of this because I wrote this book prior to COVID, and yet I've found a different dimension and purpose for my own book since COVID, because I called it The Voice of the Rooster, trying to connect my youth and the pastoral setting of my youth with the person, the Orthodox Jew I had become already when I was in middle age. And I was, you know, trying to, you know, connect those two things. And And I realized that, let me just take a moment to gather my thoughts again, that I was given a gift of a way of looking at life, and I just wanted to share that gift, and it's proved to me that it isn't a bottle of soft drink or an advertisement or a television show that can unite us. The gift that was given to me was an analogy that was taught to me by a rabbi, a congregational rabbi, who followed the teachings of a group of rabbis, seven generations of rabbis. They were called Chabad rabbis, and the body of knowledge, it was called Hasidus. My personal rabbi is Rabbi Elchanan Lisbon, and his wife, I want to include, Zipporah. And I would, you know, just like to say to you that because of them, I have been able to define the soul in a way that I never could have before. And I'm just thinking that maybe what those people in the 60s were groping for, that sense of unity of a world, is really there for us, and we need it so desperately now in this time of COVID. And I'd like to share that analogy with you. It was given through my rabbi, Rabbi Lisbon, but it was really a concept of this seventh generation rabbi who lived from 1902 to 1994, and he lived in New York, and his name, they called him the Rebbe, and his name was Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and just very briefly, I acknowledge him in the back of my book, but I wanted to say that, and this is not pertinent just to me as a Jew, but this Rebbe touched so many lives, both his students and people throughout the world, and he regarded our soul as a precious diamond from God, and he treated each person with that in mind. And for many years, on the Sundays, throughout his leadership, the Rebbe stood at his Brooklyn office door, and he greeted each individual who came to him. And there was a line of people of all faiths that often extended around the block, waiting for a turn to meet him. I got that opportunity, but I did not at that time know who I was really even looking at. I had yes. heard of him, but I didn't know. And what he would do is he would look into the visitor's eyes, and then he would give each person a personal blessing and a dollar bill. And these seemingly simple gifts, he hoped, would be a catalyst for giving to others and for valuing the importance of their own souls. And my blessing is that may we all follow his special example. And how it connected to my life is I worked with the children of minors throughout my high school summers and college summers. I taught reading, and I saw, or very, very secondhand, the impact of poverty. And I saw just from afar what it meant to be a minor. And my dad had two furniture stores in two small mining towns. And the belief my father had and his father had was that you give back to the community because God has shown you the good fortune of, you know, having, you know, being able to feed your family
yes.
and, you know, take care of the people you love through the people of the community. So our heart should be that of giving back to the community. And so I would like to take this idea of a diamond and show how my life went from thinking of a diamond as something like a piece of coal, dark and opaque, and transforming that piece of coal into a diamond the closer I become to my own soul. And so I would like to read two poems that hopefully will help people understand, hopefully, how I perceive God to see them, each person on earth.
Let me just say before we do that, the time is going by so quickly, and we'll close with these two poems, and I'm anxious to hear these. And all of the inspirational poetry you'll find in Ellen's book. Now, our guest is Ellen Beth Berman. Her website is ellenbermanbook.com. Find the book available at Amazon, all of the usual places, link on, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Ellen, as we close out here, please read those two poems. It's a inspirational poetry that literally is life-changing for so many people. Please read those.
The first one is called Why Not Choose an Angel? And it answers the personal question of why would God have a need for me? You know, I'm not perfect. What is that? I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a scholar. You know, why write a poem and be reading it today to others? And I would like to hope that by hearing this poem, people reevaluate who they individually are. Okay, as I said, the name of the poem is Why Not Choose an Angel? God fills every inch of the world he created with his special presence of goodness and light. Why would he have a need for anyone such as me, with no voids to be filled or darkness made bright? What if God purposely creates a certain space for each person that he brings to this earth, providing opportunity to individually live a life which he claims to be of inestimable worth? Why not choose instead a heavenly angel who never complains, makes excuses, or lies, and who obeys his words to absolute perfection, without questioning him with relentless whys? What if God specifically creates his obedient angels to be without man's ability to act on mere whim? What if he hopes, in encountering life's crossroads, that I will choose freely to make space for him?
We're so well done.
Thanks. I'm just going to grab a sip of water and then read the second brief poem.
That's fine. It's a great way to end the conversation, because the poetry is inspirational. It's so meaningful. It's an award-winning book. Ellen Beth Sherman is the author. The book is The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches. Book available at the usual places, Amazon. It's published by writersbranding.com. Ellen's website is ellenbermanbook.com. You can link to her website directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And as we close out the interview today, Ellen, please give us one more poem.
Thank you so much, Rick.
You're welcome.
This poem is called Awaiting You. And I've tried to include pictures with each poem. And the picture for this poem is one of a father reaching out to help a son who's just learning how to walk. And it's a testament to the importance of unconditional love, regardless of one's age. I see you coming toward me with your unsteady little feet. I watch as you awkwardly stumble, my arms open for when we meet. Sometimes you go the distance, other times simply trip and fall, but I see your great persistence, such desire to give your all. Please keep your eyes focused on me and my special love. I will not disappoint you. My heart is fueled from the source above. Come into my open arms, into the comfort of my embrace. Let me feel your closeness and see the beauty of your little face. You are so very perfect. Trust me to keep you warm. No one can take your place. May life never bring you harm. If this is how a loving parent feels from first glimpse of you at birth, imagine this love but a reflection, a mere suggestion of your godly worth. Even when life disappoints you and you deny the hurt that you feel, come even closer, my precious child. Your father's love is unquestionably real. That being God, I will point out.
That was Awaiting You was the name of that poem, and that's just a small sample that we could do during the course of the conversation from Ellen's award-winning book, selected prestigious Hollywood Seal of Excellence, Star of Excellence by the Hollywood Book Review, awarded only to books of exceptional merit, and you'll see why that book has won that distinction. The book is The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches. Our guest, Ellen Beth Berman, her website, ellenbermanbook.com. Ellen, the time has gone by too quickly. It has been such a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on the success of this book. Hopefully, there'll be another and we can continue our conversation. It's been a pleasure having you with us on the program.
Thank you. And just my blessings go out to you and to every listener. Thank you so much.
Well, you're reaching out and touching so many people with the book, and the book is The Voice of the Rooster and the Lessons It Teaches. Again, Ellen Beth Berman is the guest. Book available wherever books are sold. Our website, ellenbermanbook.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.